Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about on Let's Face the Issues broadcast today, the subject, I'm just simply calling it Wake Up America. We need to wake up, realize what has taken place, what has been done, and how we should respond and what we should do, especially as Christians and then as conservatives in America. That call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. We're just talking before the broadcast, before the break for our news, about what has been taking place and some of them how churches and pastors were treated. Greg, we've got another listener on the line, but before we go to that listener, let me say this. You mentioned that before the broadcast, before the break, but here's an article that says, after threatening to close churches for good, New York City will give 400,000, hear me, 400,000 meals to the Muslims for Ramadan. The article says, failed Democratic presidential candidate and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says his administration will provide free meals to Muslims celebrating Ramadan. The annual Islamic Holy Month began Thursday and will run until May 23rd, and those celebrating in New York City will be presented with 400,000 halal meals by de Blasio. It seems to be kind of a kind gesture during the times when New York is in the nation's largest COVID-19 hotspot. But it also sharply contrasts with de Blasio's treatment of the city's Jews and Christians amid the coronavirus. Last month, the mayor threatened to permanently shutter churches and synagogues just weeks ahead of Easter and Passover. Now de Blasio is literally catering to the city's Muslims. Greg, how do you respond to that?
I guess Christians are seen as second-class citizens. If your name is de Blasio or many of these governors and mayors across the United States, that's completely foreign to me. That's completely foreign to me. We've discussed the notion of, why Christians should meet, but our freedoms, both civilly and spiritually, our freedoms, our liberties are bought at the price of blood. The revolution was a bloody revolution. Those that fled had essentially they risked their lives to flee the oppression that they were contending with as pilgrims, as colonists here, many of them. And as you fast forward, as when we're going into just before the revolution, Patrick Henry went and had to defend three Baptist preachers that were on trial for preaching the gospel. That revolution was about a bunch of things, but a huge portion of it was our religious liberty. And of course, I joined the two together. Our liberty, our freedom is bought with the price of blood. Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross is the only thing that gives us spiritual liberty. And to trample on Jesus' blood will cost you an eternity. To trample on the blood of those patriots that went before us, and to ignore, to take lightly the freedoms that were purchased with their blood and their sacrifice is an offense. It's not just an offense to them, it's an offense to future generations, because what you give up else will have to bleed to reacquire, to buy back. Why in the world would we let such take place? Yes. If you go all the way back and over and over, you folks need to read this. Not just at Thanksgiving, but all times of the year. The first Thanksgiving proclamation after the colonists landed there, those pilgrims landed there in Plymouth. The first Thanksgiving was 2 years in. And the first Thanksgiving was because they had survived. I mean, only half of them survived the previous winter, only half of them. But they thanked God. William Bradford penned that Thanksgiving proclamation. And he says, that, basically they gave thanks for the corn, the wheat, the peas, this all the way down the list. They thanked God for protecting them from the ravages of the savages and being spared from pestilence and disease. And get this. they thank God that he had granted them freedom to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. Now,
yes.
What's going on today? People are absolutely forgetting the freedom, the liberty that was bought at a great price. And we,
yes.
And it should be front and center. Don't let it slip away. Don't let
That's
it
right.
slip away.
Greg, hang in there for us to have mutual dialogue and discussion. I believe we have another caller on the line to go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'd like to ask you, I'm not an expert, but I've read that there's a Nobel Prize-winning French scientist, the one that discovered AIDS, HIV, and he says this coronavirus was made in a lab. There's no way random choice in nature could have made it. Is this an act of war by China? Because the USS Roosevelt, the nuclear carrier, it was basically shut down. It had 800 cases of coronavirus. And I haven't heard of any Chinese warships with that kind of numbers. It seems like if the Chinese are inept, how did they skate through this with such low numbers? It's almost as if they knew it was going to happen, and they corralled it. They had advance notice, but yet the rest of the world, it caught us by total surprise. Is this an act of war from China to break us finally and also just, you know, wipe out our soldiers?
Well, to answer your question succinctly and not to elongate it, but to give a very thumbnail sketch, to answer your question, I would say yes and no. What we're finding is, and what some of our pundits are finally coming around and saying as far as the so-called political leadership in America today, in the recognition that this is a virus that came out of the Wuhan lab, and that lab is there to design and to search and to investigate different viruses. And it didn't come out of that lab, I believe, accidentally. I believe it is something that they knew. In fact, more and more we know. They're saying now that back as early as last October, the Chinese knew about it. They started buying up on a global basis all of the personal protection equipment as well as ventilators, et cetera. They bought up just this morning's news on Fox said the number was somewhere in the neighborhood of several hundred billion dollars worth of personal protection equipment, et cetera, that they scavenged around the globe and bought for themselves. And yes, they're reporting low numbers, but also authentic sources are saying that probably up into the millions died in China that they did not report. In fact, there are articles about the incineration of thousands and thousands of bodies and of apartment buildings where the doors were welded closed and those inside that were sick just were left to die, etc. So they're underreporting their numbers. But as a result of them discovering that this had gotten out on them, I think that it was a virus they were playing with, as I call it. It got out inadvertently. They saw the danger of it, and immediately they started closing down the ship to protect themselves, and they wanted to look out for self and did not warn the world. As a result of that, we've seen the pandemic, and it's been brought about by what I would call murderous actions on the part of the Chinese, contrary to the Communist Network News and the talking heads on MSNBC and other channels that are giving the talking points for China. It is out of China. It is promulgated by China, and I believe it was designed in their labs. I believe without any question, it was designed in their laboratories as a future protection for them to use as some biochemical warfare weapon, and it got away from them. Now, that's just young blood speaking, but I believe there are enough talking heads now that are coming around to seeing that. Senator Cotton and others are saying that there's a major problem with simply thinking that it got out of the wet markets there in China and spread around the globe. That simply is not the case. But we're looking at the end result of it. But thank you so much for your call and for your acknowledgement of the fact that we have received at the hands of the Chinese major, major damage, and we could call it a war. President Trump is calling it a secret war, an invisible war. I believe that several things could be brought into the discussion about China and its modus operandi and purpose behind it. And part of that is that they wanted to cover up for themselves, notwithstanding the danger to the world. Greg, how do you interact with that? What do you say?
Well, it's China is a huge portion of this equation. You step back in time a little bit, though, and based on an article in the National Institutes of Health in 2013, I believe, some work started being done in a lab in North Carolina studying coronaviruses in bats. They were looking at modifying through proteins this coronavirus, and they presumed that in adding this protein, there could be a species leap. That program was shut down. In 2015, the program was shifted to Wuhan. The study was shifted to Wuhan. And in 2015, the National
Institute of Health.
Exactly. At least $3.7 million in taxpayer dollars left the National Institutes of Health to that laboratory in Wuhan. At least that's what's being reported right now. And if that's the case, I believe they just offshored that which would be illegal here. And, of course, China loves to have any new technology, any new, you know, biological, whether it's weaponry or just technology. I mean, they're the chief of technology theft around the world. They will rob and steal anything that they can for advantage. Now, you couple that, and of course, this starts in Wuhan and spreads around the world. You couple that and the devastation, and now China is buying up industry in America on the cheap. And I have to go, you know, if this thing came from China, and it did, if this thing were released intentionally, we don't know that. But we do know that they covered it up for at least 6 weeks. Now, that gives them huge advantage because, just like you were articulating, the PPE was bought up by China. They knew a wave was coming, and now they're taking advantage on the backside. Now, I got a real problem with that. I've got a real problem with that. And we need to realize China is a totalitarian state. The numbers we get out of China are only the numbers that China wants us to receive based on their a perceived advantage that may be gained. Yes, there may be mass numbers dying. Yes, there's a possibility that knowing it was coming, they made provisions so that it did not spread so much in Shanghai and Hong Kong and Beijing and places like that. We don't know the real numbers. Everything is in flux today, even in the United States. We don't know the real numbers. The numbers of actual infected viral patients may be 50 to 80 times, by some people's estimates, more than what is being currently reported. That also drives the number, the fatality, the mortality rate. It drives it way down if that's the case. All this is in flux. I just hate to see a totalitarian state taking advantage. And right now, not only is China trying to take advantage, but you have leftists in the United States that want to make us a totalitarian state. That's a state that
yes.
There's centralized dictatorial governance, and you have to have complete subservience to the state. We cannot allow that in America.
And what is happening, Greg, if I can touch on this, and we've got another caller. We'll take just a moment to talk for a moment on this and pick that up. But here's an article that says America is being transformed by the pandemic crisis. And it's an article that's put out by WorldNet Daily Online News. As you read these words, America is changing. We're changing because we're in the midst of a great and unprecedented crisis. And as a Nobel Prize winning economist, Milton Friedman, said, only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change. Or as Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, put it ominously, never let a good crisis go to waste. House Majority Whip James Clyburn openly salivated over the prospect of transforming America into a socialist paradise, calling the coronavirus pandemic an opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision, end quote. Indeed, episodes like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi trying to stuff abortion funding into the coronavirus relief bill, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez demanding extra special funding for illegal aliens, are only part of the much larger battle now raging in America's future. Yes, America is in the process of being transformed, but exactly how she will be transformed is yet to be determined. And it goes on to talk about the major things that are taking place. But, Greg, do you see this as transforming America irreversibly, that the norm as we used to know it will never be the same?
Once freedoms are lost, Once freedoms are lost in any country, you study, you look back in history, bloodshed is required before those freedoms have any hope of being returned. Venezuela right now, they voted themselves into socialism a decade and a half ago. They voted themselves into it. Those people are starving. Right now, it is worse. I guarantee you, I've not seen any news on Venezuela, but I guarantee you it is worse today than it was 90 days ago, worse then than it was 90 days before. Those folks 5 years ago started having food and toilet paper shortages because what? They voted for socialism. They voted to give up rights in exchange for free stuff. Today, we have at least two generations of kids that do not understand when they vote their freedoms away. They don't just get to vote them back in. They disappear. They're gone. You can vote your way into socialism, but some say you'll have to shoot your way back out of it. And it's terrible because from a Christian perspective, you don't want to see that. But it follows a steady cycle. You see this over and over in culture after culture. Let's not go this course. Let's not go this way. Believers, stand up right now. Your freedom, your liberty is at stake.
A good example of that, Greg, as you're speaking, here's an article that says employees are furious when owner keeps paying them. They would have made more on unemployment. The article says a small business owner in Washington State is describing how the federal government's increase in unemployment benefits for people who have lost their jobs because the coronavirus is causing her to compete with unemployment. Jamie Black Lewis, who owns the two spas, was thrilled after learning she had secured a small business loan for the Paycheck Protection Plan to continue paying her employees, even though the business was still closed. But according to the owner, her employees didn't share the excitement. She told CNBC that she told her 35 employees in a virtual conference that she had received the $177,000 loan to pay them. They did not greet it with reception as she expected. Quote, it was a firestorm of hatred about the situation, she said. In other words, the employee says, we'd rather sit here and draw unemployment because it's more than work. We get paid working, and we'd rather do that. That's a good indication of the open embrace of a socialistic system. Greg, hang in there a minute. We've got another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, gentlemen, do any of you have any knowledge that Trump possibly has huge loans with Chinese banks, and as much as he wants to collide with China, his hands are tied ultimately? Have you read anything or heard anything in that particular matter?
I've read several articles on it, and every article I've read is coming from the Socialist Marxist Communist Network News and the 10-horn dictators, as I call them, that spun that up just to make it look as though somehow, some way, we have a commander-in-chief that's illegitimate. That's the whole source of it. There's nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, that I've read, that I've researched, that I've found, that indicates any veracity to, verifiability of, any of those statements that have been made. It's the simple matter that What was he called? What did President Trump call him? Pencil neck? Little one that wanted to destroy Trump by impeachment. As he read into the record, a farce, phony, supposed telephone call that Trump had and read that in the record. That's the type of thing that they do to cause the general public to be able to look at with question as to what's taking place. This is the reason I'm looking at an article by a Yale psychiatrist that claims Trump supporters are like brainwashed child soldiers, end quote. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you for calling. Greg, what do you respond to that? What have you read, heard, or seen?
Well, yeah, I've seen several of those stories pop up. It's just very interesting. It's trying to cloud the reputation of the president. I understand what they're doing. There's the political objective. But ask yourselves this. If this is true, if there are these loans out there, have you heard anything about China just forgiving the loan? By the way, if you forgive a loan, then there's a tax implication on that. But I've not heard anything about China forgiving the loan, if the loan even exists. I've not heard about them giving him money. Now, I have heard about the Biden family receiving $1.5 billion in Chinese money to invest. So really, you know, no matter what's heard out there, you do the research, see if it's real, but then dig in and see if there's any validity to the potential of influence. Now, that $1.5 billion will yield for this BHR Investments for Joe Biden's son, it will yield a stack of cash. And, you know, this is $1.5 billion, so $1,500 million. So on scale, if somehow or another we hear tomorrow that the Chinese, you know, leader gives Donald Trump $1 million or two, that, by the way, that doesn't happen. But if that happened, you go, okay, where's the scale going to move? The scale is still $1.5 billion on the side of Biden, and that borrowed money is going to have to be paid back with interest to China, if it even exists.
One of the things, if I can jump in and say this, one of the things that I have found is what the socialist Marxist Democrats are doing. They then accuse the president of doing that to try to, in some way, nullify what they have done. For example, it was the communist Marxist Democrats that were involved with Russia, but they claimed that it was President Trump. It was the communist Marxist Democrats who were involved in the Ukraine with a great scarfing up of the hundreds of thousands and yay millions of dollars that was sent there, that was going through the hands of Biden and others, that they were raking off the top. And yet they claimed that President Trump was responsible for some of the problems in relationship to Ukraine. I could go on and on and on. It is a simple matter of what one is doing. They claim it openly on the other in order to take the focus off. I've used the term so many times, it's the magician's favorite trick. Don't pay attention to my left hand, just look at what my right hand is doing. And that's generally what you see taking place. Greg, let's shift gears for just a moment. What do you think about the reopening and what's happening? I'm looking at an article here that says Dallas Salon, that's a beauty salon, Dallas Salon owner reopens, refuses to close despite government threats. She said, if you cannot afford to pay us and feed our families, then you have to let us work. You have to let us go back to work. The owner of a Dallas salon reopened her doors on Friday in violation of Texas' ongoing coronavirus shutdown. And despite the citation from the city, a cease and desist letter, and a visit from law enforcement, she plans to keep her business open. And I've got a whole 2 or 3 page article on that. She said, I'm behind on my mortgage, she told the Inside Edition. I know a lot of my stylists haven't paid their mortgages either. It's either come in and make money to be able to feed your family, and or to stay at home and freak out. And she goes on with talking about the way she's defying the orders. And I just simply say, and some might disagree with this, I simply say, kudos to her. I think it's time that Americans say, you cannot shut down my constitutional right to freedom that I have to work, the freedom that I have under my Constitution to work and to pay my bills and to be honorable as a citizen. I think it's time that citizens say in mass that we're going to go back to work, we're going to open our stores, we're going to open our doors, we're going to open our shops, we're going to open the mom-and-pop shops as they've allowed the big-box stores to be open the whole time. We're going to open our churches. We're not going to say we're openly defying anything. We're simply being obedient to our God-given rights to work. In fact, the Bible is very, very clear. If you do not work and take care of your overhead for yourself and your family, you're worse than an infidel, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. And I believe that's exactly where we are. What do you say? How should we respond to this little tiptoeing around now across America for opening?
Okay, listen. This sort of thing exposes the mass hypocrisy, the huge hypocrisy on the part of the left. They will be the very first ones to say we ought to have the right to go in and have ourselves euthanized, you know, because we have power over our own body. They defend abortion on the basis of I have power over my own body. Now, the little infant, the little baby that's inside mommy, now that baby doesn't have any rights. But they will declare ultimate rights, extraordinary rights over their own body. However, when it comes to making a choice to go to this hair salon or not, or I got a question in that story. Did they talk about how they were lassoing folks and dragging them into the hair salon? No. That's not part of the story.
They opened the door and they had a line of folks to get in.
Folks, by freedom of choice, free will now, freedom of choice, they want to go in there. And you know what? They've heard and seen everything on the news trying to scare them to death, and they're still willing to do this. They're taking precautions because most of them are adults. But they're making a reasonable, rational decision based on their own cognitive abilities, and that's exactly what the leftists claim takes place if a person chooses to euthanize themselves or a person chooses to go and have an abortion. your reason, ration. We ought not stand. And all of a sudden, they're completely, and I'm sitting there going, preserve life, preserve life, and don't be totalitarian. I defer to freedom. I defer to the freedom of the unborn child to make that choice. How about that? Rather than some extreme. And these folks are making choices. And now the real totalitarian left, their totalitarianism, you know, leaps out of them. They want to control everything. By the way, those same people don't think we ought to control abortion at all. They regulate health care. You want to know why health care is so blasted expensive? Because they regulate every single nuance of health care. We discovered that even in the midst of this crisis. Little masks that are produced and sold to places like Home Depot and Lowe's for contractors, they meet that N94, whatever the standard is. But because they're considered industrial, they're not allowed to be sold to medical, okay? Now, Trump got a waiver on that real quickly so that these masks could be shifted over, and even put out the notice, hey, if you're a contractor and you have extra of these masks, take them to the nearest hospital because we need them. But think about that. That bureaucracy stood in the way. Now, that's just one example. There are tens of thousands of examples in medicine where they regulate everything. But then when it comes to procedures like abortion, oh, no, you can't get in the way of that at all. You can't regulate that. You can't touch that because that comes to their freedom of taking an unborn baby's life. By the way, that fits with the depopulation thing that a lot of these extreme leftists want. That's going all the way back.
Bill Gates is wanting to reduce the population by about 100 million. In fact, he's wanting to reduce it by far more than that. That's what he admits on. Greg, we've got about another 2 minutes, minute and a half. Here's an article that says constitutionalist sheriffs won't enforce the coronavirus restrictions. In one of the counties in Washington state, he's refusing to enforce the governor's stay-at-home order. He claims the order intrudes on our right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On April the 22nd, he told his constituents on Facebook that no longer would he enforce the unconstitutional rules and regulations. How do you respond to our sheriffs, some of the sheriffs standing and doing the honorable thing and refusing to honor those unconstitutional regulations?
I pray for more freedom, folks standing on freedom, and I'm absolutely opposed to these oath breakers out there. I want oath keepers that will stick to their oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Do we have 15 more seconds?
Yes, 15 seconds.
15 seconds. Alexander Tytler says we move the cycle. There's a cycle. We go from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependency back into bondage. Where are we in that cycle today?
Yes, a lot to be thought of and considered, and we need to look up, lift up our heads, ladies and gentlemen, for our redemption. Draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.